Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I wouldn't do that because that would be in the
Then why can't I say noughties?
Because that's too vague.
And again,
he just said 80s.
Quizmaster discretion.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, a bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Sure, you were keen to put this to the top of the running order.
Worst team in history of Manchester United. I mean, we've been saying this for a long time, but when Ruben Amorim comes out and says in the press conference, I know you want your headline, there's your headline. United's worst team in club's 147-year history. He didn't say the 147 years, but he was like, in history. I mean, you know, we are this generation, prone a little bit to not quite fully understanding history. Like, the day that the banners were all around Old Trafford for the King, I'm sure Ruben Amorim knew that Dennis Law was involved in the relegation of Manchester United. So this team isn't surely as bad as that team, are they? Are they? Could they be? Could they be worse? Is he right? How are you feeling, lads?
I'm feeling like this is common. This is an unusual feeling. Brighton were superior. They had another goal chalked off, which I actually thought was pretty harsh. It was a free out given.
They have a great record against Man United.
Yeah, they're the
three in a row.
The only side since Manchester City to do that, actually, to win three in a row at Old Trafford. So there's nothing new. Obviously, the way that they won is concerning again. The trend continues. I mean, the scoring was reversed midweek last week against Southampton that Manchester United won the game, but they were equally poor at times in that game. Like, Southampton were far superior. And I remember we talked about that, I think it was a Monday morning recently. I mentioned the upcoming Southampton game at Old Trafford, and I was like, what if they lose that? And we scoffed at the notion Southampton are one of the worst teams in Premier League history, and that is the case. But for three quarters of that game midweek, they were a better side, and Brighton were just consistently better yesterday. The thing is, the positive performances slash results away to Liverpool in the Premier League and then away to Arsenal in the Cup was because Amorim had a full week to train each time. So now we're going back to a game every 3 days, and it seems like that is a big problem for this Manchester United squad to adapt to what Ruben Amorim wants to do. He needs a full week with this team and probably playing against big opposition on paper to perform well. We're back to the mean now.
Or they need to play defensively against everybody because they don't have anything like the talent to control games the way Manchester United would have traditionally at home against Brighton. They would have been the ones who dominated the order of the match, however it was supposed to be played. And if they just defend and try and hit teams on the counter-attack, that's going to be their best way of success for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but he's not going to do that.
Oh, why not?
Because, right?
He's a man of principles, and he sticks to his principles, and he's stuck. Yeah. He's stuck. Oh, fire him.
Absolutely.
Fire him. Can't do that.
You mentioned a standout quote there at the top. It's the worst Manchester United team in history, right? So to elaborate on that, he says, we have a new coach, referring to himself, that is losing more than the last coach. That's true. So he said that he got that out of the way. And this is a theme of Ruben Amorim's interactions, is he gets it out of the way. Like, he proactively attacks where he thinks the attack's going to come from.
Hammer the hammer.
Right? And he said, look at our stats, basically. It was a 2-10 Premier League games, right? But then he said, Ger, I'm not changing.
I mean, I don't think he should change.
So he knows what he wants to do. And again, I think largely the reaction to this is, everyone's on Team Amorim, concerned with Manchester United. It was like, he's right, they're wrong. To paraphrase Principal Skinner, it's the kids that are wrong. He needs to get a new squad, right? He's doing well in terms of what he wants to do in the principles. He's getting his house in order himself, and he's trying to bring the squad along with him, and they physically can't do it. Because, so he's already cherry-picking who he's getting rid of.
Yeah, it sounds like he's trying to get rid of everybody, though. Like, you know, Kobbie Mainoo played in the European final at 18, scores cup final. This guy's amazing. And it's like, now he's getting whipped off whenever the team...
He has a few heads he sticks to, like. He likes De Ligt, likes Mazraoui, likes De Ligt, likes Ugarte, really likes Harry Maguire.
Ugarte gave him a new contract. Well.
Give him a new contract. Yeah, but he plays them all the time in centre mid. He got whipped because they needed to do something. He's not going to win the game for them. So I wouldn't buy too much into that. But I would say he's very sceptical about the front line, basically. Any bit of the attacking third. Obviously, Ahmad has been the player of the season so far, but he's very sceptical about the rest of them.
All right.
You want to put a full stop in it?
I mean, I don't know. I want to talk about this forever. How do you feel as a Man United fan? Raised on a diet of, you know, non-stop success.
I think it's pertinent.
Glory.
What you said to us last night when we were discussing this, I think you would speak on behalf of many Manchester United supporters, which was when I said we'll put them in red.
Well, it's just, what else is there to say? Like, it's not...
It's getting worse.
But it's like, it's getting worse. And what, so, but like...
If only Southampton.
But we can't. If we're going
to
deal with it,
about the three worst teams coming up and going straight down, you're like, they're getting sucked into a relegation battle. This is mad.
If the response to them keeps slightly augmenting after every single game, it's impossible to see the bigger picture of what will or will not happen.
What do you think the bigger picture is at the moment?
Well, the bigger picture is whatever he's trying to do, and I have no idea whether he'll be successful at that or not at all, because I do wonder if it's if the problems are so vast and the time he'll be given just by proxy of no matter how much he's backed, he'll only have a fixed limited time. Whether you can address those problems in that time is very hard to know.
Well, at some point has to start addressing them. So you assume that having the hierarchy of the club, having picked this guy, although they get the last guy, new deal. Anyway, that they're going to have to stick with him through at least this the summer transfer window and give him until...
Oh, Jesus,
October,
yeah. I think he'll have.
You can't change.
He'll have till the end of next season as a minimum. Absolutely. I would say
they're 10 points clear of Ipswich. Mighty Ipswich. They're 10 points clear.
Well, yeah, but again,
it would have been 7 if Southampton had anything about them. We are talking all things Manchester. We might start with the red half. Mark Critchley is with us from The Athletic this morning. Mark, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, lads. How are we doing? Thanks for having me on.
The worst team in history. You're like, this is a very interesting approach by the manager coming out and just being like, yeah, everything you're saying about us, I'm saying the same thing, actually. I'm the ringleader when it comes to criticising this team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it almost feels kind of just cheap and, I don't know, like wrong to be sat in a press conference room. And, you know, it used to actually take some effort to get a manager to say, yes, my team is the worst in the history of this football club. But this guy just comes straight out with it. I've got to be honest. Like I've seen different opinions on this. I find it quite compelling the way that he just addresses what everybody can see, the elephant in the room, right? And it feels like, you know, he's addressing and acknowledging problems publicly that everybody can see. And after, you know, we're talking about a football club here that really struggles to accept the fact that it has been in a decade long plus malaise that has affected just about every decision making at every level inside the club. I mean, you know, it was only 6 months ago that they were supposed to be setting in place a football structure which was going to be revolutionary and, you know, was exactly what they should have been doing for years and years and years. And only a few months later, the guy at the very head of that structure, Dan Ashworth, the sporting director, he's not around anymore, and they're not even following, they don't even have a sporting director, they're not even looking for a replacement. At least Amorim is a guy who's come in, who's got an idea and is sticking to it no matter what. And there's almost a begrudging respect for that, because it's the type of thing that simply hasn't happened at Old Trafford for the last 10 or so years.
Here we are, though. It's the 20th of January. And if there's going to be any reinforcements, it would be ideal to get them in relatively soon. I know they've got to do business first. And we are hearing that there are loan deals at least in place for some of the most recalcitrant footballers in the squad, which might just be a case of addition by subtraction, but you would hope that he'll get some reinforcements in the next 10 days.
I think the issue with United in January has always been moving people on first before you can make space for that. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, PSR and FFP and making the headroom in terms of the regulations. And that is true. United do need to do that. But at the same time, I think what also gets missed is just good old-fashioned having cash spare, having money around, right? And this is a club that's burned through money over the last, well, it's particularly over the last few years since COVID, and simply doesn't have the type of resources around that you were used to. You know, you would go into any transfer window and you would usually expect United to be able to just throw money at a problem. That has still consistently been the case over the last few seasons, but it's increasingly been done either on through basically using the company credit card, the facility that they've got there, or relying on the money that Ratcliffe put in last season. That's essentially what funded the summer business. That money has essentially dried up, and so you are looking for ways in which you can make room. And yeah, but obviously there's been the reports about Antony. He's closing in on a loan deal to Real Betis. They're looking to try and move on Tyro Malacia. Big outstanding question is Rashford, obviously, and the interest has clearly picked up there, but it's still only looking like it'll be a loan move rather than anything permanent. So even if those players manage to get out the door, you're probably looking at loans, you're probably looking at space on the wage bill rather than you know, big wads of cash suddenly coming through the door. And even then, so the business might be limited in a sense that it's not going to be a total turnaround in the squad. It's going to be a player here, maybe a player there, just as replacements. I think Amorim would want any player that leaves to be replaced. You know, it is quite a big squad at the minute, but he's having to delve quite deeply into those resources. And, you know, it's desperate. He is absolutely desperate for players who actually fit the system and who are suited towards it, because anybody looking at the performances right now would say that it's a lot of square pegs in round holes.